This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, July 23rd, which means it's the last Roster Report podcast before training camp begins.
Woohoo!
For the 2010 New England Patriots.
Woohoo!
Eric Scalavino. The woohooing you hear is from Andy Hart. Both of us from Patriots Football Weekly. No Paul Perillo, still vacationing.
Woo-hoo!
I've been called a woohoo before. I've been called a yahoo as well.
Yeah.
Paul will be joining us again next week, we think.
Who knows?
It's time for the start of training camp, but this is the last one before training camp, so we're going to talk about things that are important, relevant, timely for the team as we approach training camp. Still, well, we should get to the quick news that the Patriots have signed a couple of more draft picks. Seventh rounders, Cade Weston, defensive lineman from Georgia, Zach Robinson, quarterback from Oklahoma State. So that makes now eight of the 12.
The wrong eight,
from this,
but...
Well, from this year's draft class, the first rounder and all three second rounders at this point remain unsigned.
All first rounders remain unsigned.
In the NFL,
right.
That's right. Andy, any concerns on your part that any of those four on this team won't be here for July 29th?
Not huge concerns. I mean, this team's pretty much always done a good job getting guys under contract, save for the Ben Watson issue.
Right.
I know it's a little different year with the CBA and the loopholes for roster bonuses, and that seems to be what's slowing everything up for the high picks across the league. But I don't have a huge concern. I think they'll get it done. I mean, even you're talking about the lower end of the first round and then second round picks that they have to deal with. So I think they'll find a way to get it done. First of all, they need the guys. I mean, I know there's, you know, negotiation going on, but in terms of Gronkowski, Spikes, and Cunningham, I would think Bill Belichick is very, very interested in having those guys here from day one.
Yep.
Because
can't afford to lose any
all
time.
All three could be potential starters early in their career, even. I mean, you could be talking
significant
about
significant contributors at the very least.
September starters.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think they'll come to agreements. I think those guys want to play. And again, it's not, you know, maybe there'll be issues in the top 10, top 5 when you're talking 30, 40, 50 million, but I think those guys will get it done. This team has done a good job.
And like you said, the Patriots have done a very good job, more so than a lot of other teams, of drafting players who are signable, who aren't the kind of players who demand salaries that require them to hold out. They're pretty good at coming to terms with players, even if it comes, you know, even the night before camp, but they're still here on time for the first practice. I think something needs to be said about the way they go about their selection process and their personnel and their scouting process.
Sure.
The other question that we've been, well, not we, you and I, but that's out there in the atmosphere, in the blogosphere, in media, speculation about Tom Brady and his contract has now gone to almost ridiculous proportions in that some members of the media have taken to saying there's a possibility he's not going to show up for camp. What do you make of this?
I think that's a little bit ridiculous. I'll be stunned if Tom Brady is not here
on
next Thursday to open camp. And I also think there's a difference in saying there's a possibility, anything's a possibility, so I guess technically you're not lying, than there is with a columnist such as Tony Maserati saying he should sit out. I have no problem with that. If you literally think he is somehow getting screwed and being taken advantage of in these negotiations, whatever, saying he should is different than saying there's a possibility, because to me, if you say there's a possibility, you should have a sliver of information, inclination, something that leads you to believe he could really...
And cite it.
Right. And
either
Sean
say,
Clayton
I have a source
have
who told me this, or
right.
People...
So I would not be concerned if I were a Patriots fan.
I would
drive down here, be out on the field at 9:30, I believe it is.
Or 10. That sounds about right.
Next Thursday, and I expect to see number 12 come up those stairs, jog on the field, you'll cheer, he'll wave, and
yes,
you'll be off to a great start. Now, I will say, on the flip side of that coin is, I don't expect to see number 70 jog up those steps and out onto the field.
You know, that's where I was going next in this little podcast of ours. We've had some quotes out there recently from Frank Bauer, who was Mankin's agent, suggesting maybe that there's, you know, the door may be ajar for amending of fences.
Why is there a fence going through the door?
I'm mixing
my metaphors
a little bit, yeah. Well, you have to, in order to get to the fence, you have to go out the door.
Right.
So
you got to overturn that stone.
Exactly. So
maybe beat a bush.
Do you
throw a rock through a glass house?
Look for a needle. There may be a haystack.
Right. I'm not too optimistic about
this prospect.
All right.
Personally,
enough.
I think Logan Mankins is digging in. I said it at the time. I think he's a man of principle. His word. He said he didn't want to be here. He feels wronged. I'm not commenting on whether I think he was wronged or not.
No, that's not what we're talking about.
I think he feels wronged, and that's all that matters. He holds the cards here. He doesn't have to show up. He's not under contract, did not sign his tender, cannot be fined, technically is like you and me. He's not an NFL player at this time.
And I would say I think Bauer, his agent, is doing the right thing from an agent's perspective to leave all options open for his client to not to burn any bridges, at least on his
end. Might have wanted to have that conversation about a month ago.
You're right, on Mankin's end. But as far as the agent is concerned, for his own business, he's doing what's best for him and his business and, you know, the relationship. He might have other clients that have to deal with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. He wants to at least make sure that he's on speaking terms with all the people here. So from his perspective, that's the right thing to do and say. Whether or not it translates for his client in this particular case is another story. I tend to agree with you. I think Mankins has already made that decision, said so publicly in a way that really stunned all of us.
Didn't leave a lot of wiggle room.
No, not at all. So
Nick Kazier, strap it up.
Probably.
And line up between Light and Copen, and let's see what we can do.
That's probably what we're going to see based on what we saw in the spring come this
Thursday.
Now,
the question is, has Mankins overplayed his hand? Or is it just personal? Has it nothing to do with a hand, and he just feels wronged, and that's it? The money is not relevant, anything. Because I think personally, my guess is there's some negotiating, posturing, so two sides looking at it differently in terms of this year playing under the tender and how many years are in the contract, and are we ripping this year up? How are we doing it? But the bottom line is, everyone seems to say it was a $6.5 million deal annually
that he turned down.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money
for a guard.
Right.
And I understand
for anybody,
everything,
but for a guard in particular.
But from my perspective, if you're Logan Mankins, you really want to play here, I probably would have signed the $6.5 million just because if this is where I'm comfortable, if I like Dante Scarnecchia, I like Bill Belichick, I like the team. But I can also respect him being a man of principle, and at whatever point he felt wronged, he should leave. Now, the one thing I will say is if that's how this is going down, stick with it. If you're a man of your principle, then stick with your principle. I can respect that.
I could easily see him sitting out the entire year, having no movement with the Patriots, and hoping that when the CBA does finally get resolved, he will still, with five accrued seasons under his belt, will be an unrestricted free agent and will be free to sign with anybody. I think that's a calculated gamble, but I don't think he is disregarding. I think he's taking that under consideration and would be willing to do that because, like you said, he's a man of principle.
And he probably won't get as much money at that point. He probably understands that. He's probably of the mind, I come from a ranch. I drove here on a, whatever it was, 88 F-150. Mm-hmm. I don't really care about whether it's $30 million or $50 million at this point.
But I think he's banking
my 30.
But I think he's banking on getting more from someone else than he would be getting from here.
I'm not sure about that at this point. I'm not. I think it may be about more than money. I think maybe he has decided, okay, money be damned, I'm pissed.
Okay, maybe.
I think he's an emotional guy. I think he comes off as the, hey, how's it going, easy kind of guy. But at some point he's got a breaking point on the field. It means he punches you in the testicles and it hurts. Off the field, he says, I'm done, I want to be traded. Let's move on.
True. We've seen him with his Jekyll and Hyde personality off the field and on. He turns that light switch on when he goes on the field.
Maybe the switch has been flicked and
it might
be stuck in that position.
Good point, Andy Hart. Terrell Owens, another name we've heard out there as possibly being associated with the Patriots.
From Terrell Owens.
From Terrell Owens directly. Still, at this point, jobless.
Sure. Get rid of me. Trade me.
Give me a percentage chance that we see him on July 29th or sometime this August in a Patriots uniform.
1%. I don't think it's very likely.
But you'd like to see it.
I would give him the opportunity to win a job with his football team. I think he can still offer something. You know, 55 catches last year, but he averaged over 15 yards a catch, right in the same ballpark as your number 81, Randy Moss.
That's right.
I think he would be one of your top five receivers, would bring excitement and playmaking ability to your spread sets running down the field opposite Moss. So I would give him a chance. I think he's crawling to you. He basically begged you, Mr. Kraft, coach, I'll come. I'm in shape. I won't ask for number 81. I'll take a lesser role. I would give him an opportunity. I don't think it's likely to happen. I think the Patriots are, A, happy with some of their veterans when you talk about Moss, Welker, Holt, and, B, are ready to develop Tate, Price, and Edelman. So I don't think it's very likely at all.
Chances that he'll be playing somewhere in the NFL this year.
100%.
I agree with that, too.
He'll be on a team, no question.
All right, and before we wrap it up, we've got competition at pretty much everywhere you look on this roster. From both sides of the ball, on special teams, we've got some questions with some new guys coming in, new roles. Where do you think at this point the greatest competition will come from a specific part of the roster, certain position?
I'm going to target two spots. Safety, where I think you have three legitimate potential starters in Chung, Sanders, McGowan, which I think is a relatively high-level
alongside Brandon Merriweather.
Right. And then the other one would be outside linebacker, where I don't think you have as high a level of competition. You have a huge degree of unknowns behind Tully Bantakane and maybe including Tully Bantakane, whether you believe he can be a double-digit sack guy, you know, 16-game starter. So I think that position is the one to watch, outside linebacker. I couldn't tell you who's going to start, who's going to be the situational rusher, who's going to be any of the roles that could unfold at that position. So I think that is a very competitive one, but maybe not for all the right reasons, because I don't know whoever wins it may not end up being very good players.
Right. I'm more comfortable with the safety position only because of those guys you mentioned. We've seen them all pretty much play. Chung might be the biggest unknown among them, but we have some experience, some tape to look at. They have a track record that they've established. I'm looking more to throw another position out there for you, inside linebacker next to Jerod Mayo, Tyrone McKenzie, unknown, Brandon Spikes, unknown as far as their pro careers are concerned. Gary Guyton, we know what we have from him, but he's probably peaked as far as what he can do as a pro, potential-wise. So I think there's going to be a lot of competition there for that spot because we both seem to think that 3-4 is going to be the predominant scheme once again for this defense, which means you need the two starters in the middle. I think there's going to be a lot of competition for that job next to Mayo. So that's going to be another position to watch. And, of course, what develops on offense with the third receiving option, whether that's a wide receiver or a tight end, playing that role, maybe Aaron Hernandez in the Dallas Clark type role. Who's going to emerge as that third consistent threat for Tom Brady?
Sure.
I think that's going to be another interesting. And that's not necessarily a job in itself, but it's a role that that's going to be a big part of this team and this offense.
Most competitive training camp that I've witnessed, I expect.
Could be.
Dating back to 2001.
Could be. And we're going to be here to cover it. On the blog, on PFW in Progress, on the radio, on Patriots.com, in the newspaper itself,
podcast,
Patriots Football Weekly, more of these such podcasts. And we might have Paul Perillo to help us out. Who knows when he gets
back. And you
may
even draw pictures.
Oh, that'll take a while.
Yeah, I know, but if you start now, by the end of the season, you'll tell me what happened in camp.
I'll bring my camera. We'll take some photographs and we'll have that. But training camp's about to start. We're ready to go. Hope you are too. We'll see you next week.
Peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.